This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
That's right. Here we go, yo. It is In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I appreciate that setup, Fig.
Yeah, that was very good.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reggie Latitula on Deadline Day. Man. That is about the most excitement you'll get out of me.
Emphasis on the dead as of now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, man, get involved with the program.
We got nonplussed my ass.
Well, we have to start with the excitement of it being deadline day. Then we talk about the reporting and all the things that would then take you to a nonplussed place. Mm-hmm. Get involved with the program. We always want that. The YouTube is available for you. That's Sports Radio 610. And then the Twitch is available to you. That's 610 Houston. But always, always, always get involved on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Shout out to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. The number for that text line? Well, I'll give it to you. 713-572-4610. Let us know how you feel on deadline day. What emotional word would you like to use here? And you can use anyone, including pissed, which comes in on the text line. And that is in regards to the seeming reporting from various people, including Jonathan M. Alexander of The Chronicle, that seems to show that this Texas team likely is not going to make a move. And it started seeming like it was going that way yesterday. We saw a couple of guards or guard center type players added to the practice squad, which made you think, you're adding a lot of depth at this position that you probably need to go and get a piece at. I know that Diana Russini of The Athletic had reported a few days ago that I think this was about Friday, that with Stephon Diggs with his injury, that the Texans were not expected to, you know, look at a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And so with those things, you then get the reporting late yesterday that the Texans are not expected to make a move. And that really puts a damper on a lot of things. But I kind of want to get your opinion or your perspective. Like, what was your reaction to getting some reporting that really leaned into the idea that the Texans might stand pat and go with what they got already?
Well, the other thing that that happened yesterday is D'Amico Ryan's kind of told us. He kind of told us that they weren't going to do it. And I want to dig into that a little bit more later, just the bad day that D'Amico Ryan's had. Yes, you heard me correctly.
It was
a no good, very bad
day.
Yes, D'Amico Ryan's had a bad day. I know that's not popular to say, but he had a bad day. And we'll get into that. But here's what I'm thinking with not making the deal. And tell me if I'm thinking too much about this. I said I was distraught, and I simply do not understand it.
Ooh, stupefied came in.
But if you get in a little, if you dig in a little deeper, are they telling us something else? That something else being like, let me put it this way. There's no way the Texans are giving up on this year. Anything can happen. It's not that, so don't even go there. But are they telling us that they're sort of recalibrating just how close they feel they are to truly elite? Not giving up. They get in the postseason, they're going to win the division. Crazier things have happened. They might upset, you know, Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. So they clearly have the pieces, I've said that multiple times, to be an elite team. But with this offensive line, and Figgy's the one that actually got me thinking about this when I saw the report that they're not expected to make a trade, because Figgy said in the offseason, they might have to just blow this thing up on the offensive line. So are they kind of recalibrating? Let's make do. Let's get as good as we can.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Let's be as good as we can with this group And like I said, crazier things have happened. Maybe we can still get there, but I feel like they're maybe recalibrating exactly when they can be truly elite.
I feel like they feel they could get there and a lot of things could happen.
Right.
But I don't think they feel confident enough that they are a competing Super Bowl
yes,
team.
Yes. Because that's what
they,
I'm thinking.
If they were, because I see a lot of people keep comparing them to the Detroit Lions. And I don't even think they the same type of team. Man.
No, they're not.
I think the Detroit Lions are a Super Bowl contender. They are the team to beat.
Yeah.
And so they can afford to give up some picks
yes.
if they wanted to get a big time player, because that's adding a cherry to the top.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Texans have too many holes. They had too many question marks. And I just think this offensive line, I don't think it's nothing they can do about it until the offseason. That's why I kept saying I don't think one player can plug into this offensive line, and then there you go. We the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be the Detroit Lions. The thing that I've said, and we'll examine this even more, I thought Ross Tucker joining the boys mm-hmm. in the morning. Ross Tucker joined them at 7 a.m. I thought he brought some really interesting things to the fore. I think there's possibility of raising the floor to a certain place if you get and you can do that with a single change on this.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder, though, if they felt like they had a target that would work in trying to get to that floor, which that's a little surprising if that's the way that they evaluated it. I think you have to, the way that you first put it, Lopez, I was like, I don't think that they're in that place. And it's tough to gauge off of the things that they say, because the things that they say, I do wonder if it's just kind of stock answers in order to get through the processes of asking the questions, as opposed to like a true representation of their feelings on things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been so much of, you know, these things are fixable. These things are fixable. And maybe they just said it enough and I've been browbeaten to the point where I believe them. But it seems like they really do believe that these things are fixable to a degree where they can get some things done and not have to pay an added price to go outside and find something in addition to it.
Well, my feeling is, and this is another very important element of this, this is what Nick Caserio does. He is a grand plan, long-term, big picture kind of guy. We know that he's one of those guys that is looking forward step by step, not wanting to skip any steps. We know that because in 2021, what he did, you know, sort of gutting everything, bringing in a lot of one-term contracts of guys that at the end of their career, bringing in David Culley, just getting through that mess of Deshaun. Then the next year, you know, that grand plan took another step with maybe some other guys and some pieces and some draft choices that were going to be part of a successful organization. Then last year, lightning struck, and they got C.J. Stroud. And he added more pieces with, you know, he already had Derek Stingley and getting some other big element. He does not skip a step. So, and I'm not saying this is what it is. This is how I'm reading it. I'm reading it as like they know they have a shot this year, but they also know they're more like the Lions of 2 years ago than the Lions of this year.
That is fair. That is a fair yep. thing. Yeah. And it's weird because we kind of stumbled slightly into this conversation of, if this team is not full Super Bowl contenders, what are they?
They're on their way.
They are in some ways, but I think I still find myself thinking about how they have expiring contracts, and they kind of went and they added some veteran players that mm-hmm. felt like they were supposed to jolt them into
sure.
contention space. And I guess this is where the calibration comes. Maybe they are in that place where, like, okay, we're not fully contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Can we be a team that just kind of develops? I'm not sure that I would agree with that assessment, but it does seem like maybe they are making that thought process happen. Or maybe they really do believe they could be Super Bowl contenders and it's all still available to them.
I can't
just
believe
need
that.
A little bit more.
Yeah. I can't believe the figure that they look at this line and say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But at the end of the day, I think it's nothing wrong with that, man. It's perfectly fine being a playoff team and just kind of finding your way. And
rolling the dice.
Yeah, I think this team can beat anybody, to be honest. But I'm not confident in that to the point where I'm willing to give up some premium picks at the trade deadline and feel like that's the missing piece right there.
Yeah, but what's tough is in the AFC, and maybe this has shifted over the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. it definitely felt like it was a gettable lead. Right now, the Ravens have played really well, including Lamar Jackson himself, mm-hmm. along with a potential offensive player of the year, probably the leader, actually definitely the leader on the odds boards for offensive player of the year in Derrick Henry. Like, you have that team going there.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Kansas City Chiefs, who are still undefeated, even though they've looked kind of gettable. And so there's something in me that says, well, you know, while you have an opportunity, you take your shot, because these things shift so quickly in football. How many times do we look up and we go, this team is going to be here forever, and they're not? But I hear you on that. Like, I do hear you on the idea that, yeah, man, you might need to continue looking. And one of the things I thought about yesterday once we were off the air is, how quickly can this team, or how quickly can this team kind of make adjustments, right? And I for some reason, I keep thinking of the imagery of a cruise ship, right? Like, a cruise ship, when it's making that turn, it's going to take a while, right? There's a level of, you know, distance that's necessary to get a shift.
Yeah.
It's not something that is going to be very agile.
You're not
going to
take a hard left.
Right. And not that in every instance you need to take a hard left. I want to make that abundantly clear that I understand that.
Yeah.
But this would feel like going and getting an offensive lineman, it would feel like, you know, maybe a quick movement in some ways. I mean, hell, we talked about how last year, Damian Pierce. We talked about this year. Your willingness to stay with Kenyon Green for a long time. It feels like this organization maybe trends towards slower movement, long-term decisions, and that would probably lean away from making a move at the trade deadline.
Well, let's remember this also. To your point of, you know, it looked like a team that went all in, and that's undeniable. But things change. Things change over the course of the first nine games of the season. They might have thought, you know, with this line, with Laremy and Titus Howard, they gave him the big contract back at right tackle, and Juice developing. They may have come into the season thinking, yeah, we think, especially after coming off the year that C.J. Stroud had, we've got an elite quarterback. Let's add some pieces. I think we can go for it now. But those things change, Reggie.
Yeah.
And it's very much evident that they have taken a hard left in terms of the offensive line. And that's why I feel like they might have just taken a step back, had all their meetings, kicked around all kinds of different possibilities, and said, in essence, we're not the Lions this year. We're the Lions of 2022. Let's act accordingly.
I find that interesting, but I do wonder how much of this is also kind of framework, right? The messaging, someone says, yeah, Jesse on the YouTube says the messaging is not sitting well with most, and I think that that's absolutely part of it. As you have some people talking about that their feeling on the trade deadline day has been incredulous. But you know,
dictionary yet, man.
Yeah. I need to actually read off the definitions with these words as I get there. I do also wonder how much the framework looks, because you got the Lions coming in immediately after the trade deadline, and they also have already made a move for a pass rusher after losing Aiden Hutchinson. And of course, we understand that they're probably it feels like they're definitely in a different level where they are one of the front runners of this league right now. And they needed that very particularly for what they were trying to do. So Za'Darius Smith, they add him at the trade deadline to help pass rushing. There's rumors that they are looking to add another young, or relatively young, I guess, 27 is not super young in NFL years, pass rusher to what they are doing still. Like that juxtaposition of teams going out there, you mentioned all the wide receivers that have shifted around for the Ravens and the Bills and the Chiefs, right? You've seen those things happen. Like I wonder if the juxtaposition of teams that would seemingly be in that same place going and making moves is part of what makes it feel even worse that they're not gonna, or that they likely will not make a move.
All these teams are looking at 8 or 9 games into the regular season, and they're asking themselves the same question. Are we that team? Can we get there from here? The Chiefs, of course, are yes. The Bills feel like it's a yes. The Ravens feel like it's a yes. The Lions feel like it's a yes. The Texans are acting like a team that's like, let's take our chances, but it's not a definite yes. They are not in that hemisphere right now. And it's tough to say, you know, because, you know, I think they did go into the season thinking, yeah, we can be that squad. But again, things change fast and life comes at you fast. And they realize now that this offensive line, it isn't one move away.
No, and it's not one move away from being a high level line. I think that's where they're kind of there are levels to this, right? Because I do think it is one move away from being a lot more tenable.
Sure,
and maybe that's,
like you said, the floor.
Maybe that speaks a lot more to the respect and belief that they have in someone like Jarrett Patterson, who you got to see for 10 whole plays at guard. It looked good on that drive. I don't know how much you can extrapolate that forward or out wider. But then you lose him to, you know, a concussion, and then you very quickly have to make some decisions that are going towards the trade deadline. Maybe they feel like you can put Jarrett Patterson in there, and all of a sudden your line is that floor that we're talking about, that I've mentioned a few times, comes up to a place where now it's more tenable and you can get some of the things that you want to get done. Mm-hmm. And if you're in that place, now you're back to being a team that is, like Figgy said, dangerous, that can get anybody, and you're in that space. Maybe that's what they feel, but it just seems like you should have... if you have that expectation as opposed to like just kind of hope, for lack of a better word, that you should have definitely, if you feel great about Jarrett Patterson, that's cool, but another player that you feel like you would have there that you have confidence.
And let's be very clear about this. I want to be very clear about this. I don't necessarily think that this is a bad plan because of everything that I just mentioned. I think like they took a step back and they're sort of saying, okay, this is what we really are. I don't think it's a bad plan. It's just, as I said, I was distraught because I thought higher. I thought that they could maybe get there from here. And I also feel like if they do execute this other plan and they do take their chances this year, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a little run or make a big run because of the quarterback. And, you know, who knows? All I'm saying is I think that's where they are. I think they're saying we're going to take another step, but we're not going to skip a step.
How far do you think right now, if they don't make any moves, how far do you think they can get?
Well, they'll be in the divisional playoff for sure.
Correct.
So we know that. Win one game and you're further than you've ever been.
And it still feels like that that is something. Well, I guess I can't say that. I was about to say that feels like that's something that's available to them, but I can't say that for certain because the We All Need to Play Better still exists there, and they haven't really given you great performances against the better teams, right? They've managed to get wins against teams that are not on their same level.
Yeah,
I think that is fair to say. I mean, they beat the Bills in a place where they were still kind of on a down situation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give all the credit to the Bills not being at the level that they are now.
Yeah.
Because the Texans, particularly the defensive line, did some fantastic things against that Bills team. But, I mean, you lose to the Vikings. You lose to the Packers. You lose this past weekend. Or you lose to the Jets, right? You're not beating the teams at the level that you would hope to compete with. So those are the teams that outside of the Jets probably, those are the types of teams that you're going to see in the playoffs that you need to be able to play at a high level. And that's why the notion of style points and the way that you're playing mattered so much to me. And so I can't say for certain that they'd be in that place if they don't make any moves. But of course, that's because I don't have the foresight and the vision to see the level of play on the offensive line getting better. And it feels like the only real opportunity for it to change is Jarrett Patterson coming back.
Yeah. And here's the other part. If they do not make any moves here, then absolutely we're going to be able to find out in real time on Sunday night just how far away they are. Because the Lions are coming in, and the Lions are bringing in players like a contending team should. And boy, it might be something that's going to really, really hit home.
I think the good thing about this, I guess, if you want to look at the good part about this, is I felt like this is not like a year where the window is about to close.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's still. I still feel like they're a little bit ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
but
the only thing I caution is that I've seen many a team be in that place where they were like, all right, but we've still got more rope to work with, and then all of a sudden you look around and that rope is a lot shorter than you anticipated. Yeah. I don't fully believe that that's
work,
where the Texans
Nick.
Are.
Yeah,
that is a scary work, proposition.
Nick.
It's one of the things that makes football different than any of these other sports. It's just like. These things, when you
here
have an opportunity
here today,
to
gone tomorrow.
Yeah,
you typically have
you'll
to
be the Jags.
You have to grab it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember Remember that one time?
No, seriously, man.
You remember that one time they went to the AFC Championship game?
Yeah,
and they thought everything was sweet.
They brought back Blake Bortles.
But they were skipping. But they were skipping steps.
Yeah,
I mean
they were skipping steps. I mean it's obvious.
And see that's my issue, man. I don't want them to feel like, oh, let's go all in at the trade deadline, man. Mm-hmm. And then you end up having to sell these guys off the next year.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a bad thing.
Tear it down. So,
it's just disappointing.
I don't think it's a... I think we just got to, I guess, follow the plan, I guess.
Trust the process, you say?
Trust the process.
Right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a trade deadline day. It's an election day. It's also a Texans Ticket Tuesday. It's a B. Scott day. There's a lot of things happening today. So we want you to hang out with us all day long. Right here on your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I was listening to Peyton Pendergast this morning, and Ross Tucker, their weekly guest at 7 a.m., he made some interesting points. He went all the way through the seven sacks that happened in New York. What can we learn from them? Because I think that there's a couple of things that we can get a little bit of insight from. We'll talk about that next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He has hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Tuesday. It is deadline, trade deadline day. It's John Lopez, Figgy, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Hope you are having a good one. Hope you're staying dry. I know that there's a lot of weather out here all over.
Get out and vote. Doesn't matter.
I had to swim to get to work, man. I had to swim to get here.
It was wet, huh?
It was crazy.
That's tough.
I had to turn around and don't drown,
Oh, for real? You really had one of
the street. Yeah, I'm like, I don't trust this.
That's tough.
So I had to go around.
One of the great reasons to live close to work if you have the opportunity. But, of course, in this great city of Houston, that's not always easy to do. Regardless, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We mentioned this deadline day. We also mentioned earlier that it feels like there won't be very many moves. As reported by Jonathan M. Alexander, I mentioned that Diane Russini had talked about last week that that the Texans didn't seem to be interested in making a move for wide receiver. And one of the things also that was evident, Troy of Texans Cap, we talked about this yesterday. He pointed out that there was only $5.5 million in cap space that'd be available. That's not a lot of room to take contracts into. And so the deadline to make moves on your contracts to create space would have been 3 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And we said that that would be illustrative in trying to figure out if maybe moves were on the way. Well, nothing gets done there. So they, again, only have $5.5 million of space to work with. And so maybe that also gives us an idea that moves are likely not coming. But yeah, there's people talking about, hey,
they could though.
They still could. They could.
Hell, the Chiefs, you just heard it on the Sports Minute there.
Yeah.
They made five moves since the start of the season.
You could talk to other teams and be like, hey, take the bulk of that.
Yeah,
and it's ways around it.
Yeah. But I mean, that would make the deal a little bit more expensive. But that was one of my issues as well, is that with the idea that maybe they don't make trades. It feels like trades have been relatively cheap, unless you're the Cowboys. But other than that, like, it feels like everybody's been paying pretty low prices on a deal relatively. So it just feels like a missed opportunity in some ways.
Yeah.
We'll see ultimately how that goes. One of the things that you always get if you keep it locked on Sports Radio 610 on Tuesdays, Pendergast talked to Ross Tucker. He's a fantastic former offensive lineman, now media guy, calls games for Westwood One and on TV for CBS. And he did a little bit of homework, and he looked at all of the seven sacks from the New York game. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some interesting things that we can take away from his attributing of blame in there. Now, I know that there was eight sacks, but he looked at it and he was like, one of those he did not think
should be considered as a sack. So I'll lean on his his understanding here. But he gave us seven. This is how he started off.
The first one was the nickel DJ Reed off the left edge. The offensive line was sliding right. Yeah. So that's either the running back is supposed to block him or no one's supposed to block him. And the quarterback is supposed to throw the ball quickly to the receiver or running back or whatever. Okay, so that's number one. Number two was almost entirely left guard Kenyon Green. Number three was definitely entirely left guard Kenyon Green. Number four was a TT where I didn't think the right guard Shaq Mason and the center Juice Scruggs did a good enough job. I'd probably put it more on Scruggs.
So that's how he starts, the first four. And one of the things that becomes abundantly clear in there, hey man, left guard. Yeah. Left guard, and you'll hear another instance where the left guard gets alluded to. And this is why I feel like a move, I know that you're not going to fix the offensive line in one fell swoop, but I think that a singular move could have been hugely helpful, and maybe that move ultimately ends up being Jarrett Patterson stepping into that space and holding it down, is when you have a single spot attributing like damn near half of the issues in a single game, like outright, like being that's the issue and that's the reason why you had a sack, of course, outside of, you know, other situations. I feel like this is where I talk about the floor of this. You get somebody in there, even if they don't have to be incredible, but if they're not having those particular blown tires in protection, now you can actually get to some of the things that can possibly give you answers. When it comes to, all right, well, we're taking on a lot of pressure, but we're not having those particular big catastrophic things, and that should be able to help you level it out. And so that's where some of my frustration will come in if they don't actually make a move.
And I don't think you're wrong. I think you fix the left guard position, even if with a player who's just the mean, just the middle of the pack. You're going to get better, but as you listen, it's not just that, and how high or low is the floor? If you fix that, is the floor going to raise that much significantly?
Sure. Yeah. All right. So this is Ross Tucker continuing as he evaluates the various reasons for the sacks that the Texans suffered in New York.
The fifth one was on Stroud and the running back. So this is the biggest concern for me for the Texans going forward, is that Stroud is like starting to get a little bit spooked. The fifth one, Stroud's backing up. Like he's kind of afraid of what's going on, so he backs up. Tunsil took the guy around at like 8 or 9 yards. That should be okay. But Stroud dropped back too far, didn't want to step up, and also the running back, I couldn't see who it was, but the running back totally missed on Sherwood, the safety coming late. The sixth one was just a total whiff by the left guard, in this case, Kendrick Green. Kendrick Green, in this case, totally whiffed. And then the last one, the right side just kind of gave up too much push. Yeah. But that was another one where I'd like to see C.J. Stroud get rid of the ball. It's bothering me. Like, some of these, he has to throw the ball away.
So I thought that got really interesting, because the secondary part, I'm sure you can tell.
Hey, what did I say last week? David Carr syndrome.
Yeah, CJ getting spooked, but this is where CJ accepting responsibility, where I have to do better. Like, I think it visibly comes up is the idea of getting the ball out, and which is something that he did well last year, right? Throwing the ball away. But I was talking to you in a break yesterday about a piece by Stephen Ruiz of The Ringer talking about how you have – Patrick Mahomes dealing with a lot of checkdowns, right? And how, his trajectory from being a guy who's really, going downfield and really airing it out to a dude who's doing checkdowns and doing them effectively.
Yeah.
I think that some of that is factoring into CJ. CJ needs to get the ball out quickly, sometimes not hold the ball so long. Sacks are often said to be a quarterback stat as opposed to an offensive line stat. It feels like that is a role that he also still has to play in helping this out as well.
No, I totally agree, but I think that's also the worry. That's why I said, look, he's not going to be David Carr, but I think the way I put it is he's showing some symptoms. He said literally what I mentioned last week, and that is the way he was backing up and just crumbling. That is something that, yes, C.J. Stroud can fix. But boy, you have to surround him with guys that can help him fix it a little easier. And maybe that is just someone at left guard who's average. But Stroud has to, I'm worried, that as he said, he's getting a little scared back there. And that's something we've seen before.
Yeah. I mean, but there's the fear, and I think there's also the opportunities to...
Sure.
And this is not just C.J. Stroud. I think some of this will also be on your play call to give you
yes.
more opportunities to get the ball out quickly. But this is also your quarterback needs to get the ball out quickly, and especially early downs and those types of things to give you the third and manageable. We haven't had that conversation a lot recently, mm-hmm. but that still ends up being an issue of sorts. And if you're finding yourself in third and long situations or running backwards and take yourself out of field goal position
yeah.
because you are trying so hard to give yourself more time for plays to develop and such. And so I found that to be an interesting kind of assessment of the sacks and what they tell us. Again, left guard I think is something that is because it's such a large portion of the pass protection issues, not the entirety of them, but a large portion. I feel like there's still so much room to help yourself by addressing that by a change that is absolutely going to happen without Kenyon Green. But I do wonder to what degree of success.
And maybe that's part of the equation that the Texans are using in terms of not making a deal. If we have a guy that can just be good, just be okay, then it'll give us a chance this year to a puncher's chance, you know? And then we'll evaluate again at the end of the year.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. And it is indeed election day. So if you have not yet, go ahead and vote. Best of luck to you.
Who are you voting for?
In that regard. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know.
I'll tell you, the question of the day has what we'll vote for.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, question of the day, what are some things that real people would want on a ballot that could sway the election? I'm not talking about like huge policies. I'm talking about, hey, man, bring your pet to work month. Yeah. Things of that sort.
Yeah.
Text them in 713-572-4610. That's a 5-hour energy fan line. And we'll discuss next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, happy trade deadline day, happy election day.
It's over.
Soon.
It ain't over yet.
It ain't over yet,
man.
As you might have been able to tell by that particular...
It's the fourth quarter, though. It is.
As you might have been able to tell by that particular ad break, not quite over just yet.
Yeah.
Almost.
Just
almost.
Go for two. Don't go for overtime. And yes, that is a commentary on last night.
Okay, we'll talk about that even more. Hopefully with B. Scott. I know that he is hustling to get here. I know that the city of Houston dealing with this rain has not made it easy on him. So hopefully our guy will be in at 11 to chop it up with us. But before we get there, we got to get into our question of the day. What are some things that real people would want on a ballot that would sway an election? Lopez, you seem to have a whole bunch of them.
Oh, I got some. And there's some great ones already coming in.
100% on the 5-hour energy fan line.
You mentioned bring your pet to work month.
I
would vote for that candidate.
I'd vote against that.
I would.
That's too much. Like, I'm not actually against y'all bringing y'all's pets. I'm not going to lie. But a whole month feels like a lot.
Yeah, I would say maybe a day.
Month.
I give you a week.
I go with a week.
Who doesn't like pets in the office?
There's
you got Jackson
like
in the studio right now.
Yeah,
Jackson.
Man.
Jackson, chill. Well, if they're all going to be Jackson, maybe I'll listen to Muck.
I got some.
They're
other
not
ones.
All going to be Jackson.
Yeah.
I got some other ones. I would vote for the candidate that lets you take one day a week when you can get to work whenever you like. You're still going to do your work. You're still, you know, you're not going to have and be charged for an off day. You just don't have to set the alarm.
I like where we're going here on the text line from the 713 that said just go ahead and full 4-day work week. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that'd be fantastic. That Jackson is now on
the YouTube
mic and on the YouTube. If you would like to view a very cool and calm dog,
he is calm.
That is hanging out with us in the loop today.
Are you sure he's not on some medication?
Speaking of from the 281, legalize the weed.
Legalize the weed.
I don't know the weed. Which honestly, it feels like we're getting a lot of those.
The weed.
Yeah, that's right, Stephen.
You think?
It feels like we're getting a lot of those. At least decriminalization and that type of stuff. We're getting a lot of that. We're pretty much there.
I have a serious one.
Like, nobody wants serious right now.
No, serious, but
there's enough serious on
the
day.
No.
The Texans probably
music.
Not going to get a trade.
No.
The election is happening. There's too much
the
serious.
No, y'all are misinterpreting what I said.
Shout out to 832. Extended happy hour during the week or on Friday.
All right. I would vote for a candidate that would give every American one free $500 travel voucher a year. Because we all have family and friends. A lot of us are on budgets, you know, don't really want to put the money into travel. But if you can go visit family, you know, out of the country or in another state once a year, I would vote for that guy.
That'd be dope.
Or girl.
That would be fun. I definitely wouldn't use it.
I got to say, it's a damn shame we can't buy liquor on a Sunday.
We're in a lot of those.
We've gotten at least three people.
That is a shame, yes, man. I love the state of Texas.
Yes.
But we got to do better than that, man.
Louisiana, they sell them in Kmart. I mean, in 7-Elevens.
Yeah.
Every day.
I like the idea. We just going to the Kmart to get some liquor. Yeah.
I know in Cleveland, they sell liquor. They had liquor stores and grocery stores.
Yes.
In certain grocery stores. And you could go on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And they open till like 11.
Give me the candidate that says, if I am elected, the Super Bowl will be played on a Saturday.
Yeah, man.
I don't know about people, that one, man.
A lot of people are on that, man. You're not in on that, Fig?
Nah, man, I like Super Bowl Sunday, man. It have a ring to it.
It does. Well, if that's
Super
the case,
Bowl Saturday would have a ring to it.
Then Monday is a national holiday. Mm-hmm. Like I just, it'd be late too.
Yeah.
It'd be late, and then you got to turn around on Monday and like go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's tough.
Sunday just cap off the Super Bowl weekend, man, because you know it start like Thursday. People start traveling Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the events on Friday. You go to the parties on
just
Saturday.
Move it all up a
and
day.
Then Sunday the game, and then
all up a day.
It's a whole weekend, man.
Yes,
like Saturday you had the
and
Super
Bowl.
And
you can recover on Sunday.
Saturday, then everything over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over now.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Like you want to like Sunday the game. You still got the game on Sunday. Like you don't want to be over on Saturday.
Well, this one might be a little too serious, but I do like the idea.
Uh oh.
No taxes for a month.
I mean, that would help. I'm not gonna lie.
They do have that the school thing, right? On the week of before school, no sales tax.
Oh yeah, tax free weekend to help the babies get their clothes and stuff. Yeah, for sure. I would love just and this is not as far as taxes, but. I would love it if more landlords would give you like a buy 12, get one free or something thing. Because I'm like, man, I'm on time all the time. Y'all can't cut me no slack.
I think as far as like car insurance and stuff like that, if you don't get into an accident within that year, your price should drop.
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense.
Good luck with that.
I agree. There's a few that try that.
Yeah. Hey, it made no sense that you don't get in no accident mm-hmm. and your insurance still sky high, man.
Yep.
I would like to take the low-hanging fruit here, especially as we just dealt with it this weekend. Hey, man, we need to go ahead and dead this daylight saving time already.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just go ahead and...
That's a good one.
Like, it's just such an annoyance. I realized the annoyance once more this morning when I walked into my kitchen and I saw my oven and my microwave staring at me with the wrong time again.
Yeah.
Was anybody ready for bed at 8 o'clock yesterday? Because I was damn near.
Yeah. I was damn close.
I went to the Taste of the Texans last night. It was like 7:30. I'm looking at my watch it's time to go.
It's time to go. Legal sports gambling across the country.
There's a lot of people that are going to that. What's funny is I was very much on the permissive side of this and just like, hey, man, go ahead and open that thing up, tax that thing, and let's get the money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm kind of terrified as what I'm seeing it happen. Like, I never thought that I'd end mm-hmm. up as that person. But I'm like, hey, man, there's like studies that have shown that people are actually saving less money now. And I don't know that you can definitely say that there's direct causation, but the correlation is scary enough mm-hmm. that like, you know, money in the economy, and I'm speaking very widely that I probably shouldn't be, but like, hey, man, it's you can see that there's some of this money that's where did it leave to? And it's a fair assumption to go, hey, man, this billion, multi-billion dollar industry popped up and made was legalized. Maybe that has some effect. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me because I don't gamble or nothing like that, but I feel like it makes the sports conversations a little boring now, man.
No, it makes it better.
Does it?
Yeah.
See, every time I'm like having a I can't have a regular conversation like back in the 90s or something. Now everybody got to bring up, oh, well, that's a 2.5. Oh, that's a over, 3 over or mm-hmm. all this other stuff. I'm just like, man, is he good or no? are they going to beat this other team or no? Like, don't give me the over or under.
Oh, yeah, no, it makes it better. The bat phone here, Figgy, is talking about no Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving.
Yes!
I would vote for that.
A politician that stands for something.
Your wife would not.
She would not.
But I would vote for that.
She would not roll with that.
Would absolutely love that. Some of our brothels legal. Yeah, like we got some debauchery also coming in.
Yeah, take your butt to Vegas.
We got some like real debauchery coming in as well. Somebody said it would be cool if we could vote out our show host. I don't know that I want that kind of power personally. So this is kind of a small one. Get your tax return in December instead of like January or February. Kind of would love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people would love that, when it comes to Christmas time.
Oh, that's perfect.
We can make some things shake.
That way some of these people can start having Christmas in January, February.
Why hasn't anybody thought of that before?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole tax system itself, without going too far into it, kind of funny and annoying in the way that we do it. But yeah, that would be helpful. But yeah, some of the various ways that we would like to see, or that would be cool if a politician actually put it on a ballot.
Yeah.
We're going to have some more ballot such situations coming up when it comes to your Texans later in the show at 12 noon. We'll get into the Texans ballot measures. Have the people speak on how this Texas team actually goes about things. Let's see.
We got some ideas on that. That's for sure.
One skip mortgage payment a year. If you pay, it goes straight to the principal. That'd be fantastic.
That's good.
This is a wild one that came in on the YouTube. You get one restart on a regular season, half a year for each team, but decision has to be made by halftime or before the 2-minute warning.
Restart the game?
To restart the half.
Overs. That's like playground stuff. Overs. We gotta do this over again.
That'd be so tiring.
Or they should I wouldn't say this, they should have like a 21 skunk. They shouldn't do anything like that, but when the game get totally out of control,
we need the running clock.
They should be able to just throw the white flag.
Whoever's willing to get us on the running clock.
Second half running clock, like the
Texans against the Vikings when that game was just clearly over.
Yeah, just run the clock.
D'Amico, just throw the flag out in the game. Like, it's over, man. Like, let's not get anybody else hurt. It's over.
Yeah, man. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I just got a text to my personal phone that let me know Brandon K. Scott is in the building. So
how about that?
The B. Scott hour is coming
He's going to be grumpy.
Yeah, really? He probably will.
Yeah, he'll be in a lot of traffic.
We'll allow him the space to do that.
Grumpy
then,
Brandon.
No, hey, his Dodgers won, so I don't think he's going to be grumpy. Right.
Well, but that's been a week now. It's been a few days.
Yeah, well, so we'll do that.
You might be in a dry spell.
That's so sad.
That's
my
first question. Are you in a dry spell?
Yeah, we got to find out if she has any more favorite teams to root for our man. All right, so we'll talk about that, and we'll also go around the NFL. We'll do it next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.